So our first presenter is Neha Kothari, talking about bowl sampling techniques. All yours.
Good afternoon. I'm Neha, and I'm a graduate student at Texas A&M University. My research centers around variability of fiber quality across within the plant and across different genotypes. Also about bowl sampling techniques then that can be impacted by this variability that we see. And that's what I'm presenting today. So the big players in the cotton industry in terms of economics are usually yield and fiber quality. Higher yield is more money, and fiber quality, you have to keep your standard to the national or international or national standard depending on your buyer, and you have to keep your fiber quality in mind. These are the different factors that come into play. And that's one of the big objectives of most of the breeders, to make sure that we have excellent fiber quality and yield. To start with, this is a little background about the research that I'm presenting. We did fiber testing with APHIS on FiberMax 832 in College Station in 2009. And what we found within the plant itself across 12 different branches from the bottom to the top was that fiber length started out very nice. It was long fibers, which declines as we progress towards the top of the plant. So when we looked at this variability, we were thinking, you know, how do we pick bolt samples and how it gets impacted by this variability. And this is just the example of length, but we did this across 7 different genotypes, and we measured all the fiber traits that we could get out of APHIS. The general trend we observed was that length, strength, uniformity ratio, and maturity and micronair is all our good stuff, declines from the bottom of the plant to the top, and all our good stuff, all our bad stuff, such as short fiber content, NEPs, and all tends to increase, which basically at the end of the day, I'm just trying to say fiber quality is not very good at top, and it's much better at the bottom. So our hypothesis for this experiment was that when we pick bold samples, do they get impacted by the variability that we see, and if there's a urine cultivar effect on that. For this, so this is just a little mock-up cotton plant that we have, and what we did is we took 3 different sets of samples, 15, 25, and 50 bolts. So the first set of 15, 25, and 50 bolts were all the top of the plant, so we divided the plant in exact 2 halves. We picked only in the top half, and we called it the low quality, followed by the bottom bolts, which we called it the high quality. And then we took a third sample, 15, 25, and 50, where we called it the random sample, but what that was really is a really good mix of bolts from all parts of the plant. And then we did a whole row machine harvest and took a sample out of that, mixed it really well, and compared it against the whole sample that we got from the 9 different bolt samples that we had picked. So to speak, the whole row is like our control. It's what really is representative of the fiber quality, and so that's what I'm going to compare against different sampling protocols that we tested. We had 2 different genotypes, Delta Point 491 and FiberMax 832. This was done in 2 years, 2009 and 10, in College Station. We had a split plot within genotypes and a randomized complete block design with 4 replications. We hand-harvested the bull samples, sawgen them, and tested them at the Fiber and Biopolymer Institute in Lubbock. This is our yield data for both the lines in 2 years. 2009 was a very low-yielding year. We had a lot of weather issues before we harvested, and then this was the yield for 2010. And then this is lint percent. And I'm going to spend some time explaining this graph because that's the pattern I followed throughout the presentation. Right here, the x-axis is the different bowl sampling techniques that we employed. So we start with 15 high quality. So these are going to be the bottom bowls. These are going to be the top bowls. These are going to be the randomized bowls. And then everything will be compared against the very last bar, which is going to be the whole row harvest. This is for lint percent in 2010. We had a year interaction, so we had to analyze the year separately. What appears in yellow is everything that's significantly different from our all bowl harvest. And for lint percent in 2010, what we saw was that none of our bowl sample techniques, except for the 15 high quality ones, really represented our whole row. When we look at 2009, we had a genotype interaction. So we have the first one is for FiberMax 832. In FiberMax, actually all the bowl sample techniques worked in 2009. For lint percent and for delta pine, except for the low quality, all the other picking worked. So this is a discrepancy. I don't really know why we see in 2010 nothing works, in 2009 only the random and the high quality works, but this is something, I just don't know why this is happening, but we see it. We then move on to the fiber quality data. For fiber quality, where we tested it, there was a year interaction with the genotypes for length and strength, and so those were analyzed separately. Everything else, we didn't have a year interaction, so we were going to just see one slide for it. Also, all the blue bars is where we didn't have any year and genotype interaction. Anything that's red is what we had interaction. So with Micronair, this is the dotted line right here is just for us to know it's the international accepted standard for that fiber quality. It'll come and go as the traits appear. When we looked at fiber Micronair, almost all the random bowl pick samples worked, 15, 25, or 50. And even the high quality, the ones that were picked from the bottom worked. But the top bowls thoroughly underestimated fiber Micronair. Uniformity index was also like that. We had only the random bowl samples that actually estimated it very well. For elongation, and fiber elongation is really a range. We don't have a set standard for it because a discount or premium is not given for this trait yet. What it tells us is how durable is your fiber, how much is it going to stretch right before it breaks. And for elongation, almost all the bull samples worked except for the low quality, which ended up underestimating it. When we looked at HVI length, and HVI measures length by weight, this is for 2010. There was no genotype interaction. Again, all our random samples work beautifully. They all represent what the actual all bull sample represented. With the high quality, when we increased the number of bulls from 15, 25 to 50, we ended up overestimating fiber length than what actually existed. For 2009, for FiberMax 832, we ended up underestimating if we picked from the top of the plant. Everything else seemed to work fine, and it was just the same for Delta Pine 491. Moving to fiber strength, this is HVI strength too, and what we had was that the low quality, anything that was picked from the top half of the plant, thoroughly underestimated fiber strength, and that also applied to 2009. There was no genotype interaction for fiber strength, which is why in 2009 we have only one graph. The high quality ended up overestimating when we took a big bowl sample. Next, we moved to APHIS. This is the second way of estimating fiber quality, and we had a genotype by year interaction for fiber length, so that's going to be analyzed separately. Everything else, we didn't have a year effect on it. Neither did we have a cultivar effect. This is fiber NEPS, and NEPS are little entanglements that are caused by immature fibers. And what we have here is a really beautiful distribution. If we see all the ones that came from the bottom of the plant have low NEPS, we want them that way. It's good stuff. When we pick from the top of the plant, it's a lot of NEPS, and we're overestimating fiber quality right there. But the random bowl sample worked pretty well. For maturity ratio also, a good randomized pick was what worked. It represented our fiber quality very well. Immature fiber content is what the IFC stood for. It's also the part of your fiber quality, your fiber sample that's immature. We don't want that to be very high, and the random sample worked pretty well. Short fiber content, and this trait is more a processing effect than that of the plant itself. When you harvest, you're ginning it, it's going through all these stresses, and you break the fiber if it's weak. The weaker your fiber is, the more it's going to break, and the more short fiber. And the more stress you put, more short fiber is what you're going to generate. Anything that's less than 0.5 inches short fiber, it's absolutely not wanted in the cotton industry. When we look at the bowls that were picked from the top, and this is not just the very top, we're talking the top half. We're having a very high short fiber content, but a good random sample worked pretty well. Fiber fineness just tells you how fine or coarse your fiber is. You don't want it too fine. You don't want it too coarse. And the random sample estimated it pretty well. Then we moved to length by number. The reason I put length by number is we already had a length by weight given by HVI. And this is what also had a year by a cultivar gene interaction. So we went in and looked at the randomized sample is what works very well as long as it didn't matter whether it was 15, 25, or 50. And then for 2009, we had a cultivar effect. And I want to spend some time on this slide because what happened here in 2009 with FiberMax length by number is that if we look at the 15 low quality, it works in terms of the objective of this experiment. Yes, I went and picked everything from the top, and it's the same as all bowl sample. But when it's a 15 low quality, I was supposed to actually see a bad quality like what I see for the 25 and 50. What ended up probably happening is I accidentally picked one or two bowls. Maybe could have just been one bowl that was good from the bottom, and it got mixed with this, and I ended up overestimating what was supposed to be a bad quality sample. So although a random sample for a low number like 15 works, if we accidentally end up picking one sample here and there, you could end up skewing your results pretty significantly. And that's why, although for most times when 15 random bowls work, I wouldn't recommend actually going and picking 15 bowls, because I made a mistake right here probably, and it can happen if you're picking a random sample. So that's what we see right here is a 15 low Q, which is picked from the top, still represents the overall fiber quality, but I'm guessing there's one bowl, a good quality bowl, sneaked in there somehow. And so when we look at the length by number for delta point 491, everything worked in the high quality as well as the randomized sample. The top bowls ended up almost always, if it was picked from the top side, it ends up underestimating our good stuff. So, and we do have a good fiber determination of fiber quality when we're randomly picking bowl samples. Why do we do bowl samples versus machine picking? Is because we need seed, we need clean samples. It's not always, the weather is not always perfect. It might have rained, we can't get the tractor in. It's also more expensive. And then defoliation may not be complete every time for us to run the tractor in. I want to highlight this is that this whole experiment was centered around Farmax A32 and DeltaPine. Both of them are commercial cultivars. We tested the variability in fiber quality, going back to the very first slide, where within the plant itself, the quality deteriorates from the bottom to the top. That difference with FiberMax is only 6.35 millimeters. But when we tested this for TM1, the text marker 1 in Lubbock in 2006, that difference is 9.6. So my guess is if we are going to use different kinds of genotypes, this gap is going to get bigger and sampling might get impacted much more. So in conclusion, yes, depending on the fiber trait, the genotype that we're testing, we do see an impact of bowl sampling technique used. We did have a urine cultivar effect. Agronomically, we had it in an interaction for lint percent, for HVL length and strength, and aphis length by number. We repeated this test in 2011, and the data is being processed currently. Thank you. Questions?
Thanks, Neha. We have a couple of minutes.
Yes. Yes, sir.
My question relates to your sampling technique, and you might have said this, and I might not have caught it, but in the picture that you showed, your diagram of how you were sampling, did you sample in just first two positions on each fruiting branch, or did you sample anything further out laterally from the main stem?
The question is if we sampled only in the first two fruiting branches. We sampled everywhere, but the variability test that we did was only on the first fruiting position to see from the bottom to the top how the quality declined. That was the only where we picked the first fruiting position, but in terms of the sample picking, we picked the bottom was cut half, and we picked randomly from all the branches, all the spots.
But you picked out like third and fourth position
yes.
laterally on the
yes. In terms of the variability within the plant, yes, we did that test in 2006 in Lubbock with TM1. We did pick, we box mapped even on the lateral positions, and the fiber quality deteriorates within the branch as we progress outwards.
So your suggestion would be to sample first position, first or second position, first two positions? What do you think?
This does depend a lot. So we did this for 7 different genotypes when we did the variability test. And most of our commercial cultivars have first, second positions, and there's really not much on the third position. So, yes, first and second works great. When we're working with lines like West Texas Rough, TM1, you're looking at 4 fruiting positions on the first and second branch. In that case, third and fourth need to be included because they contribute to the negative fiber quality that we see. So we must sample from there.